This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my day. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. Without you. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. Desperate for you, I'm lost without you, I'm desperate for you, I'm lost without you, I'm desperate for you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.
Y'all can be seated. Thank you for your reverence and worship this morning. We want to dismiss our kids this time to Sunday school. If you have your offering, you can give that and then be dismissed to Sunday school. I'm going to go ahead and warn you about what I'm going to preach about this morning in case you want to leave. It's not money. It's sin. So I just want to warn you. We're going to talk about sin today. Is that okay? We talk about sin in church? Is that all right? Heal our land. Do we have any graduating students in here this morning? Going to be graduating this year? Well, what's wrong with this church? No, I can graduate. All right. You are, baby? For what? Good job. Well, anyway, congratulations to our students. I know Krista is graduating, but she's not here this morning. So she's working. So good girl, working. I want to talk about sin this morning, church. As I was meditating on this, yes? Who does? From high school? That's awesome. That's awesome. That's hard work. That's awesome. Good. She's a sweet girl. I like a lot of her. Turn to Romans 6. As I was meditating on what to teach this morning, and I want to bring this up, and I know there's a lot of divided opinions on this, and I'm not trying to make any kind of political statement here. I just want to say this, that the problem I have as a Christian and as a spiritual leader, it is none of my business what anyone does their personal life. None of my business. You want to do whatever you want to do, that's none of my business. I'm not to judge that. But what I have a problem with, what I'm seeing in this world happening, there's a difference in doing what you want to do and, you know, that's your business. But then when we celebrate sin, when we celebrate it, is where it drags me into it. We should be celebrating sin. And I just want to make this one statement, because I know a lot of, and I know there's people in this church, I know we are not a, this mix of body is not a conservative, old-timey, stenched religious body. I understand that. I've got some folks that have some old-timey roots. I have some folks that are so new age that you don't know what age you're in. I understand that. It's very mixed, and that's fine. I just want to say this. We've been hearing a lot about Bruce Jenner, his transformation. None of my business. Don't affect my life. I'm going to go today and eat my lunch, live my life, raise my youngins, kiss my wife, and she's going to stay a wife. I'm going to do all those things, and it won't affect my life. It truly don't affect my life. But what does affect me, in a sense, as a spiritual leader and as a Christian who follows the Lord, is when this behavior is called heroism. A hero? Church, a hero. A sniper is called a terrorist, and a transgender is called a hero. We got a problem when we're celebrating because someone wants to change what God gave them. What God gave them. God didn't make a mistake. If God wanted Bruce Jenner to be a woman, he'd have made him a woman. That's just how it is. So it's none of my business. I've not put one thing on Facebook about it. I'm not going to argue anybody about it. I'm not one of these people, well, it don't concern me. But what does concern me is when we're celebrating it, making money off of it, writing books about it, and being a celebrity. My God. You know who the celebrities are? It's our soldiers who are fighting for our nation. It's our nurses who are in the hospital saving the ones you love, and the doctors and their surgical hands. And it's even the ministers. Not because I'm a minister. It's the ministers that are preaching the gospel of good news, who sacrifice their personal lives in order to share with others and give themselves to others all the time. It's people like that who are the heroes. It's the single mom who doesn't have a father who's doing all she can to raise her kids and teach them. That's a hero. It's the dad who works two jobs to make sure his family's provided for and has no money for himself but gives all of his money back to his family. That's a hero. I want to talk this morning about repentance. What repentance really is. And I hope you're okay with this. This is not one of the messages that's going to maybe make you go hurrah, hurrah. But hopefully it will transform your life today. Because we're in a world where we have stopped acknowledging. Here's the problem I have. We've gotten to a point where we've stopped acknowledging sin as sin. You know, we see the gay movement on the rise. And the gay movement and the homosexuality movement who is and it's once again, it's their business. But here's the problem I have. When we stop acknowledging, you know what? That's not what's right in God's eyes. At least acknowledge to that point that I know it's not right in God's eyes, that I'm not doing it God's way. That's where we've gotten to. We don't even acknowledge it anymore. It's my life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I do. It's my body. It's my life. It's none of your business. And all that's true to a degree. But let's own up to at least, you know what? I'm living this life. I know it's wrong, and at least I acknowledge it's wrong. At least I can acknowledge it's wrong. The Bible says that we'll call good evil and evil good, and we're in that generation. We're telling that generation to where if we look at someone, here is the other problem I have. I have gay family members in my own family. I have people I know that I used to work with and still work with. That's not my issue. My issue is that because I don't support it or believe in it, I'm not a hate monger. Church, I'm not a hate monger. I don't not love you. They're putting us in a box saying because we don't support it that we're haters, and we're not. We got to make a stand, church. We got to make a stand and say, you know what? This is my conviction. This is what I believe in. And I'm not going to be swayed because you're making me feel bad about my conviction. There's a lot of conviction in the world that's going on. You know, we have a generation of drug use like never before right now. Have you heard any reports that are coming out of these states that have legalized marijuana? Have you heard any reports? Now, I know some of you are all for it in this building. That's fine. I'm not. Never will be. People are saying, we'll look back 20 years and think how stupid we were that we thought that was a big deal. It's a big deal. You know why it's a big deal? Did you know? You were sharing this story. That Chick-fil-A out, wasn't you sharing that? That Chick-fil-A out in Washington or Oregon had to go outside the state to hire help. Because all of them were potheads. And they couldn't get them to work. You want to know, and we're saying, it's okay that we do something and pass this law that we keep our young people's minds so hallucinated they don't have a clue what's going on in life. There's things I just have convictions about. It's not going to change, period. No matter who does it, who says it. If the great Billy Graham says, I believe pot should be legalized, Reverend Graham, your season's over, pal. I love you, but just sit down and enjoy retirement. There are convictions we have to stand on. And what's happened, the world has come in, and all of a sudden some of y'all remember, man, there were things that we didn't tolerate. And not out of hate, but out of our convictions. I'm not talking about religious judgment. I'm talking about our personal, we've gotten away from our personal convictions. That we used to say, no, that's not where I'm going or what I'm believing or what I'm accepting. I don't care what you say. Paul had this problem as he was preaching in Romans 6. Go to Romans 6, Jeremy. Look what he says. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? I believe in this. This is an expression that makes the religious, not the religious, the non-religious liberal world shake. I'm going to give you an expression they hate. If you want to get somebody's goat and you know they're anti-God, you just they'll cringe. Have you had a born-again experience? Ooh, they don't like that. Born again. Well, I've got my spirituality. You been born again? Why do they fight the born-again experience so much? The Bible's clear we must be born again. We're born into sin. I preached that my whole life. That's why children, that's why little Tay, who's so cute, right, and loving and all that. Can he be a monster at home? A brat? Sass? Talk back? Have you ever taught him that? You ever said, Tay, when you get mad, you slam the door and say, no, mommy, I'm not listening to you. You ever teach him that? How did he learn that? He didn't Google. There's not a program for three-year-olds how to be disrespectful. It comes out. You know why? Because little Tay, as cute as he is, singing his Oak Ridge Boy songs. Wow. As he sings those, that sin nature rises up because it's there. And unless Tay has, at some point in his future, a born-again experience to where he allows Jesus to come in, remove that sin nature, and replace it with his nature, he'll always be that way. We must have a born-again experience. And Paul was saying, look, you say you follow Christ. Don't mean you still stay in sin. It don't mean you still live your lives the way you always lived. If someone is shocked when you make the statement, I go to church, there's a problem with your life. If someone's mouth drops, you go to church, that should be a red flag. Maybe my life is not showing the life of Christ. Because I've had that happen before. I was visiting a patient in the hospital, and I said, I'm his pastor. So help me, the nurse says, he's got a pastor. Well, he needs one. Go in there and try to get him calmed down. Well, that's embarrassing. Yeah, I'm doing a good job. We are supposed to be dead to sin. Doesn't mean we don't sin, don't make mistakes. What it means is we don't let that life control us anymore. It means that we are a new creation in Christ. Church, we're not supposed to go along with the cultural times and trends. The world doesn't dictate our convictions. The Holy Spirit should dictate our convictions, regardless of what the world says or tries to pass. Listen to what Holy Spirit is telling you. Because you know when something's not really right. We could talk ourselves into it. You ever bought a car you knew you shouldn't have bought? But man, you talked yourself into it, didn't you? You're making so many excuses why you should buy this car, and the whole time there's this red flag going, no, 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 no. But you know what? You just talked yourself into it. And you pay the price, because usually it's the wrong car. You have problems, or you can't afford it, or whatever, and you're like, I should listen. We can talk ourselves a lot of things. Well, at least I'm not this. Well, at least I'm not doing that. Well, here's what I tell folks, and I mean this. People ask me all the time, Pastor, you know, I drink a beer or two. Is that wrong? I said, are you convicted by it? Well, no, not really. Keep drinking. Don't hear me preachers say that, do you? Because they're not convicted, it don't matter. But I said, why are you asking me? You must have some conviction. You're saying no, but you're asking me. Why are you asking me? I've learned people ask me stuff, God's already dealing with them, see. And I'm not going to tell them yes or no. Here's what I tell them. Follow your convictions. If you are not convicted, you really can't stop it. But when you become convicted, God's saying, it's time to end it. It's time to stop it. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. Did you not know that you were baptized into Jesus Christ and you were baptized into his death? So if we believe we've been baptized to his death, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. There has to be a transformation. Church, I don't believe true salvation, true transformation is more than just saying a prayer. It's more than coming to an altar and making a profession. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to transform you. We should be different after we're saved than before we say we were saved. There should be a distinct difference, which means people should look at us. I've got a good testimony, me, Mel, and Dude, with our children, at least with our son. Because our son says this, which makes me know I'm on the right path. You're not normal parents. Yes. Praise God. Yes, we're not normal parents. Yes. That means we're doing our job exactly right. That we're not normal parents. So, you know, we don't like hearing that necessarily because we want to, you know, to connect with our children. But you know what? Okay, you're right. I'm not going to accept what all your friends' parents accept. So what? It's not who I am. It's not ever going to be right. You can't make something that's wrong be right, no matter how hard you hit it. You just can't. You couldn't make me a truck driver. I don't care how much somebody trained me. Roger could have me out for weeks and weeks. I'm telling you, I'm not able to. I don't have the nerve. I don't have the coordination. I know that. I'm a klutz. I can stand on one leg barely. I'm not coordinated. I understand that. You're not going to make me a truck driver. I'm not going to go with my belt buckle and cowboy boots and backer in my back pocket. Howdy, y'all. Come in. Run it already, LCBC. Come in. That's not who I am. I'd be totally out of character. I'm more the Rico Suave kind of guy. Rico Suave. You just can't make things fit that aren't there. And so when God's convicting you and there's things in your lives, and I know this is the Sunday morning crowd. I understand that. But I really feel with all we're seeing in social media, with all the stuff we're seeing in the world, with everything going on, with everybody's liberal-minded agenda of leave me alone, let me live my life, fine, that's fine. But understand this. It does affect those around you. It affects people you love, and it affects you. See, sin affects you. You know what sin does? Sin brings guilt and shame that you bear every day. Sin brings destruction. Sin brings loss. Sin brings brokenness. And until we acknowledge, yes, Lord, yes, I'm not right, I'm wrong, then God can't help us. We must come to ourselves and recognize and realize, you know what repentance is? Repentance is not getting saved over and over, because I don't believe in getting saved over and over. I believe you are saved and you're born again. Then there's times we come back to, you know, rededicate, or times we draw close to God, whatever. But what repentance truly is changing our thinking and changing our ways. When you know you're wrong in something, don't be too prideful to say I'm wrong. When King David got caught in adultery and the prophet came to him and knocked on his door, this was King David. I mean, can you imagine this? Can you imagine going to President Obama and knocking on the door and saying, hey, Mr. Obama, This has happened, and you're in sin. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry, I shall repent. This was King David. He didn't have to do nothing. He was king. He was over everybody. He had a position of authority and wealth and fame. I mean, he didn't know, in the flesh, he didn't know nobody anything. But when that prophet knocked on his door and called him out for stealing the one sheep from that man, he said, God, I have sinned against you. He immediately acknowledged his sin and repented. He acknowledged and repented. We have people not acknowledging their sin anymore. They don't acknowledge it. It's okay. And they get mean toward us and bitter toward us. You don't like it, you ain't got to look at me. You don't like it, you ain't got to talk to me. That's not the point. We put ourselves in this shell of sin saying, it's okay the way I am and just leave me alone. And it's destroying lives. Until we are repentant, church, until we call out to God and say, Lord, I am wrong and I need your help. I need these chains broken. I need these shackles broken. I know my life is not where you desire to be, and I'm wrong and I need your help making it right. We've lost that cry of repentance. Because we're so arrogant and we're so proud of our own lives. And we think that everybody should just leave us alone whenever God is saying, don't you know I want more for you? And you can't get there if I don't help set you free. You can't get there, church. Go to the next verse, Jeremy. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. contrast difference. This, to me, symbolizes the time before we're changed, the time after we're changed. How was Christ, how did he look at his death? He was beaten, bruised, dead, lifeless, no hope. But boy, he came out looking a lot different. Glorified forevermore. Living forevermore. Picture the cross of Jesus, how he looked. And then picture the tomb 3 days later, how he looked. Night and day. If we believe our sins have been planted on that cross with him, then we must also rise up like he did in resurrected power and walk in newness of life. The enemy is after us, Christians as well, to brainwash our minds, to destroy our homes and our families, to try to deceive us into believing lies instead of the truth. Stand on your convictions. Church, there is still a right and there is still a wrong, and it all goes back to what God has taught you. And there are things that just aren't going to change because the world says it's okay. Marriage is at an all-time low right now because marriage doesn't mean anything to a lot of people anymore. Piece of paper, they tell me. People are caught, and church, I'm not being critical. I'm trying to get through to a point that we recognize there is a way God has it planned that's a right way. There are people that me and Melanie talk to, we run into, and they call each other husband and wife. Oh, you're married? Well, no, but he's my husband. No, he's not your husband. Not in God's eyes. Why do you say that? I don't care if you're the man 42 years. If you have not made a covenant contract in the eyes of God in a union of holy matrimony, you are not married. I know we have right, the states have a, what the law they call so many years you're considered married, but not in God's eyes. We got men won't marry women no more. Don't know why. I couldn't wait to marry my wife. Maybe I should. No, I'm like, I couldn't wait to marry my wife. I mean, I couldn't wait. See, me and my wife got engaged on Christmas Day of 91. We will get married in June after she got out of high school. High school. Boy, that sounds bad. Anyway, we will get married in June. Well, I closed on a house in March. Had a house bought in March. March 18th, 92. And I told my, I said, look, I'm not going to move in without you. We're not going to move in together before we're married. So we, you know what we did? It wasn't a big thing. I don't understand. Oh, I got to wait 4.5 years to get everything planned right. Man, I just want a wife with me in the house. So I said, let's move our wedding day up. So we moved up to March. April. My bad. April. April 18th. Because she was on spring break. Took our honeymoon on her spring break in high school. Went to Florida. We get to the hotel on our honeymoon down in Florida. Big banner across the street. Welcome to spring break capital of the world. Oh, great. A bunch of young, drunk punks interfering with our honeymoon. Okay. But we did. Because I wanted to marry her that bad. To make it right. You know what's happened? Church, I just want to be really bold this morning. Okay, can I be bold? Because, I got to be bold. We've got to let God soften our hearts again. Some of our hearts become so hardened through past pain, through bitterness. Maybe you had failed marriages and you hate men now, or you hate women now, or you hate this. And you can't let God penetrate that and say, quit hating so much and acknowledge that you need my hand of healing in your life. God doesn't want you to live a life full of hate and anger all your lives. God wants to heal that and break that. We've all had heartaches. Man, if you heard my wife's story, she could write a book and it would sell. But you wouldn't know by looking at her life today what a broken life she had in the past. You would never know it by Melanie. It's sweet, happy, go-along, smiley, loving. Everybody loves Melanie. And they do. And they should love Melanie. She's got a pure heart. I've told her many times her heart's much more pure than mine. She had a broken past, but she didn't let that past keep her angry and against everybody. All the Facebook drama I see of people's lives and the statements they make and the anger they have. and the self-pity they have. Man, rise from your ashes and quit staying in that place. When God's got so much more for you, if you will say, yes, Lord, I am angry. Yes, Lord, I am bitter. Yes, Lord, I don't understand everything. And yes, Lord, my heart may be hardened, but God, I don't like it no more like this. Will you help me? God will show up and bring healing to where the brokenness is if we will acknowledge our sin. Nothing wrong with acknowledging our sin. I believe in grace. I preach the grace message. Grace is everything. But Paul's saying grace isn't a cover for us to walk in sin and keep hiding in that sin, saying, well, I'm saved by grace, I'm okay. There's something about acknowledging our sin, something about saying, God, I'm sorry, that breaks down some walls. We weren't meant to carry all of that stuff. Go to the next scripture, dear. Christ, knowing that our old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should not serve sin. Paul saying, look, you've been changed by the grace of Jesus. Don't keep serving sin. Don't keep letting your heart be bitter and angry. Don't hold on to things that the new man should be letting go of. We all got a story, church. We all got a chip on our shoulder we could all carry every day if we wanted to. We all got excuses and reasons of why we are the way we are, and we just can't carry that. It comes back to personal responsibility. I've taught my children out their whole lives. Own up to your decisions. Don't blame other people for your failures. Don't blame other people for your mistakes. Don't blame your mom and dad. Don't blame your teachers. Don't blame the police officer. Don't blame the boss man at work. Take responsibility for your actions and stand up and say, yes, God, I'm wrong. I don't like where I'm at right now. I need my heart changed. I am so frustrated with what I'm seeing around me in the world system I'm talking about, where everybody just wants to push their agenda on me. And it's even creeping to the churches. And I'm just going to say, church, I know some of you may not be aware of church stuff as much as me, being a pastor, what's going on, and maybe you are. But you know, we are having churches all across the country that are ordaining and appointing homosexual ministers in the body of the church. It's happening all over. Now, church, there has to be a stand to say, hey, you know, I'm not trying to judge you, but that's not what God called ministers, leaders of His church to be. I mean, think about it. We got Baptist churches won't let a man be married more than once be a deacon. And then we got churches ordaining homosexual clergy. Had a good friend of mine left his denomination. He was a sect of the Lutheran denomination. Good friend of mine. He left because they were trying to enforce. He was a pastor. And he said, I left the denomination because I couldn't support it. I was so proud of him. They were trying to force homosexual clergy in the denomination. I couldn't support it. I left the denomination. We all got our sins, church. We all got our... I'm not just focusing on that one thing. It's just that with all this in the news lately, it's brought a very wide scope to it nationally. As a spiritual leader, it's my job to address those issues from time to time and say, you know what? We got to say, what? Church, we are acknowledging, we are rewarding sin, and we're punishing righteousness. Christians are narrow-minded, and they're hate-mongers, and they're uneducated, but sinners are heroes. When the first NBA player come out as a gay man last year, year before last, for the New Jersey Nets, he made the front cover of Sports Illustrated, and people were calling him a hero for coming out and being who he really is. I want to be who God called me to really be, not what the devil says I am. The devil may say you're a loser. That's not who you're supposed to be. God says you're kings and priests unto me in Revelations 1. I have made you kings and priests unto me. It doesn't take a hero to come out and live in open sin. You know what a hero is? Acknowledging sin. And God, I'm wrong. And it's not right. And I need your help. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. For in that he died unto sin once. Jesus died one time unto sin. But as he liveth unto God. Next verse. Likewise, we also should be dead to sin, but alive unto God. Sin as a transformed person should not still be ruling and reigning in our lives to the point that it controls us. Yes, we go through bad seasons. We go through bad spots. We battle. I understand that. I battle. We battle. My main point this morning is, are we even acknowledging that we're battling? Are we acknowledging that we're not where God wants us to be? And God, I want my heart to be pure. As David says, search my heart, Lord. Check my reins. You know, cleanse me. There's nothing greater than getting a cleansing from the Holy Spirit. A cleansing of our lives, because the world is so trying to attach itself and stick to us. Trying to get us to follow its way. And for our children and our young generation. I mean, my God, there's such a magnetic pull on them. It's just unbelievable. I mean, Melanie knows several people of ours, friends that have people our kids' age, and they talk to us about what they're going through and what's happening. Said, you know, we raised them this way and they're going that way. We raised them this way. I don't understand why they're going that way. Because the devil's after them like a lion, roaming to and fro, seeking who I can get. I want my land healed. I'm talking about this. My mind, my spirit, my heart. I want it healed. Go to the next scripture. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't let sin be the controlling factor to reign anymore. You have the Holy Spirit. We got to operate in that, church. We got to let the Holy Spirit reign. We got to give him full control to say, God, take my life, take my heart, and change me. Next verse. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. You know how we yield ourselves to the devil? By what our eyes see, what our ears hear, and man, what our tongue tells. The tongue is one of the biggest instruments that is used by the enemy to bring destruction, to bring strife, to bring demise. That tongue, letting the devil use that to rattle off such poison. We've got to be not yielded to the devil, but let God take over our tongue. Say, God, let me only speak words of truth and life. Lord, let me only speak words that elevate others and bring life to them, not destruction. We have such a spewing generation, the way they talk, the things they say to each other. It's bringing destruction. Next scripture. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are under, not under the law, but you are under grace. Don't let sin control your life. Now, some of you may be thinking, okay, this don't really hit me because I'm not doing none of the sins, Pastor. I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, right. And I'm 6'5" and wear number 23 Bulls jersey. Yeah. We all are having things that we allow the enemy to come in and lead us away from truth. You know the reason God wants us to live for him? Because we're a light to the world. The Bible says we're the light of the world. We're salt of the earth. We're a city set up on a hill. If our light is diminished, how do other people see how to come? There's responsibility in being a believer of God. There's a big responsibility in being a child of God. I want my light to shine that others see you, Jesus, in me. And even when we fail, like David failed, like Samson failed, like all the people, you know, we see Moses failed. We see all of them who failed. The point is they were repentive. David didn't say, oh, well, get over it. I'm king. He says, no, I'm wrong. And I'm sorry, God, that I sinned against you. He acknowledged his failure. We're in a generation that doesn't acknowledge failure anymore. Even in our sports world, everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a trophy. Really? Are you kidding me? We wonder why our kids are growing up feeling entitled to everything. If you're not good enough, you're not good enough. You know, Ashley went out for soccer, and she worked so hard, and she loves soccer, and she didn't, you know, she didn't make the team for North Middle. She was so grieved and so sad, and she cried. It broke me and Mama's hearts. You know what a lot of parents would have done? Went up there, right? What's wrong with my little girl? Yes, she might not be quite as fast, but boy, she works hard. How dare you make my little girl cry? It broke our hearts. I said, honey, you just weren't skilled enough to make the team. I'm sorry, that's just a fact. You just weren't skilled enough to make the team, and I'm sorry. I didn't make basketball my third grade year. I couldn't jump. I tried out in third grade for basketball. They posted the players on the door, the outside of the gym door, said, be out there for the weekend. We was on the way to church Sunday morning. Dad pulled up there. There's a list of names that made it. I said, go look at it. Dad didn't want to go look. He went and looked at it, come back to the car, looked in the rearview mirror at me in the back seat. He went. I'm like, didn't make it. Broke my heart. I teared up a little bit. But you know what? I wasn't good enough. I mean, I wasn't. I went out, but I wasn't good enough. I knew inside I wasn't really good enough. We're rewarding poor behavior, and then we wonder what's wrong with our generation. We're rewarding it. We're even enabling it with our young generation. And church, I'm not trying to be ugly. We got, you know, parents with their grown kids still enabling their behavior. You got to cut that off. You're setting them up for complete failure if you keep enabling. Complete failure. You know, the bird teaches this, don't it? The mama bird, when she drops her little bird out to fly, it comes to a point, it's little. You don't think she's sad about that and thinking, I hope he makes it, and I'm worried, but it's time. And she takes that little bird in her mouth and flies out and drops it off, and watch why, and it makes it. Now, maybe if you crash and burn, that'd be bad. But, you know, most times, it makes it. So, we have a generation that needs to understand there is consequences for poor behavior and wrong choices. And don't blame everybody else. And don't use this, well, that's how God made me. No, sin made us in our sin nature. And then God transforms us. Because God doesn't make mistakes. We've let the world come in, and we've let sin come in. You understand how rebellion is. You all were young one time. You would try this. You got away with it, right? You did something else. Got away with that. Did something else. And the rebellion built up. And all that time, that rebellion is opening up sin into your life. Before you know it, sin's controlling you. But as a Christian, it should control us. Next scripture. 2 Chronicles 7:12. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said, I have heard your prayer. I have chosen this place for a house unto or a sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And stay on that verse for a minute, Jeremy. And turn from their wicked ways. Now look what he's saying. We got to first of all do what? Humble ourselves. Humble. Man, that means we get on our knees before God and we say, Lord, I am nothing without you. I would have nothing without you. I am lost without you. I am desperate, God, for your presence. And I have been wrong. God, I've been wrong. And I'm sorry for that. We have a generation that doesn't want to humble themselves because they recognize if they do, their ways have to change. Humble ourselves before God is the first step. And then we pray and then we seek. Go back, Jeremy. Sorry. Then we're going to seek his face. We stop doing that. Really seeking the face of God and what God would want for our lives. Because we're in this self-promoting generation of me. It's about me. No, it's not really about you. It's about Him. What He wants for you. God knows best. Like a good parent tells her kids, trust me, I know best. God knows best. We would humble ourselves, seek His face, and then turn. See, we've got to turn, church, from our ways. We've got to be willing to turn and say, God, I don't like where I'm at, don't like where I've been, and I'm willing to turn from those ways back into You again. I don't like who I've become. And I'm talking about me too, church, because as we grow in this world, as we grow older, sometimes we evolve in a wrong way too. If we're not careful. We can evolve and let the world get at us a little bit. But God's saying, turn. Child, I want you to turn. Because if you don't turn, I can't help you. You got to seek me. You got to want me. You got to acknowledge you're wrong. And you got to say, yes, Lord, I've been wrong, and I'm sorry. Turn from their wicked ways. Sorry, go ahead, Jeremy. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. There is nothing to me more refreshing, more powerful, than when God gives me a good cleansing. I mean just a good old-fashioned cleansing to where He lifts the burden off. He lifts the ugly off. He takes all the stains I've let the world put in my life and He erases them with His grace again and says, now you ain't got to carry it no more, son. You're mine. There's nothing more refreshing than repentance. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear their prayer, forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. We need some healing of our land. We need some healing of our minds, of our hearts, of our lives. Go to the next verse. I'm about done. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears shall be attended unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house. Now I want to tie this into us. This verse could very well be His vessel, us. I've sanctified this place that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually, which means ongoing. God's eyes and God's heart and God's name will be here forever if we repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. Do not accept. And you know, even this church here, I see so many people. You know, I text people. I follow up with people regularly, call people, check in on them. Y'all know that. I mean, if y'all out a few weeks, you're getting a call from me. You know that. You know, how you been? Where you at? Are you okay? People are just not prioritizing what's important anymore. I remember, Roseanne, I remember as a kid going to church, my parents, all my life. We did not miss a Sunday unless we was on vacation, which is once a year. It's not like today where people are going, you know, take 10 vacations a year. I'll see how they afford it. But we went one time a year somewhere. Or if my parents were sick. And funny thing is, they were never sick on Sunday. It's a miracle. I mean, they just were never sick on Sunday. I mean, I bet from the time I was born till the time, you know, I got married. I mean, the Sundays I missed, I could count on, you know, two hands in 21 years. And the most of those were vacations. You didn't miss the house of God. You didn't miss it. Now we've got sports tournaments going on all day on Sundays. We've got people going fishing. And, well, it's my only day, only day. Well, you know, we cancel Sunday night. so you can still have an only day. So it's an hour and a half on Sunday morning, and you got all day to do what you need to do. You don't go drink fish, go drink fish. That's fine. But come to church on Sunday morning. And then Wednesday night, well, I got kids in school. I've got kids in school, too. Had them my whole life. Never missed a Wednesday night. I mean, it's all about priorities, what you want to do. But they got to get their sleep. Well, I mean, they're laying there awake anyway. You don't know it. They're sneaking on their phone or doing, you know. It's about priority. And we've lost that. Church is not as important anymore. Coming together is not important anymore. I talked to someone this week, been out for a few weeks, said I won't be there Sunday. I promise you'll see me. They're not here today. I got a headache. Well, you won't have a headache tomorrow. Your headache will be gone by 2 o'clock when it's time to go fishing. It's about priorities. Things come up. I understand that. But we have a pattern of people that just, well, I'll go when it's convenient. And just won't go when it's not convenient. I didn't have a choice on Sunday. There wasn't one time as a boy I went to my dad on Sunday morning. Hey, Dad, we're going to church today? It never happened. It's Sunday. Duh, V8. Oh, yeah, Dad, it's Sunday. That's right. Yeah, of course we're going to church. Why would we go to church? I mean, I know if there's an ox in the ditch, so to speak, you got to fix it. But sure is amazing, in 21 years, my dad never had an ox in the ditch on Sunday. Hardly ever. We just made it. We drove 45 minutes one way. Raining. Oh, it's raining. We didn't go to church today. Oh, okay. No, that didn't happen. I said the perfect weather for church attendance is about, you know, 55 or 60 and partly cloudy. Because if it's any cooler than that, it's too cold to come out. Any warmer than that, it's a beautiful day. So 55 to 60, partly cloudy is the perfect Sunday attendance. It just amazes me. And I'm just saying all this to say this. Our generation is broken and we're in trouble. And my generation, me and Melly, you know, we're in our 40s. Our generation seems to be the last true churched, as a whole, churched generation. Whether our kids will carry that on, I hope they will. I hope our kids will carry church on. But as a whole, me and Melly's generation, me and Melanie were both in church most of our lives. Generation younger than us is not quite the case. Repent, church. Repent, acknowledge our sins, and say, God, heal my land. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Sin brings nothing good to our lives. It brings darkness. It brings hurts and pain to those around us as well as our own lives. Sin has nothing good it produces. And if we can't even acknowledge there is sin, that's the problem I have. Like I said, once again, people can do what they want in their personal lives. Don't affect me whatsoever. But I can't stand to sit back and see it celebrated as some kind of wonderful thing. That's where I got a problem with it. Sin should not be celebrated. In fact, God says, it's not even, don't even mention in secret what they're doing. Don't even mention it. Don't even bring it up. It's so hideous. Romans 1, and I started to read that this morning, but I stuck with that because I didn't want to scare everybody off this morning. Romans 1 says, when they knew God, they failed to retain God in their knowledge. And God gave them over to their uncleanness to do all the things which seem unseemly. Men lying with men. Women not using their bodies in the natural sense. Paraphrasing what it's saying there. Adultery, uncovetousness, idolatry. All of these things that we express if we don't acknowledge our sin and let God change us. Moses went to the mountain to pray and seek God's face. He wasn't up there very long. When he come down the mountain, they'd done gone completely wild. They'd done built statues. They were fornicating, drunk, going back to their animal basic instincts. And Moses come off that mountain and says, what are y'all doing? I'm up there trying to hear from God. I can't go up there for a few days, and you've done reverted back to the old way, the idolatry, the fornication, the sexual immorality. I feel sorry for our generation, because, see, our generation doesn't really court anymore like they did. They don't really court, don't really date like they used to. And it's sad that they're missing out on the opportunity of what that really is all about. Because the generation is dictating that's not how it goes anymore. We just hook up now. We don't court, we hook up. My God, church, I don't know how much longer we will be where we are in the place we're at now. I don't know how much longer the world's going to continue before the change happens. But I do believe that we are in the last, the last end of the last age. Been the last age since Christ came, but we're at the end of the last age. Revelation talks about seven churches. He was talking about seven churches there in Asia, naturally speaking, but also spiritual as well. We're in the seventh generation, the seventh church. We're in that last generation, where all things are going to be completed and perfected. There's no doubt about that. Whether I'm here to see it, I don't know, but I know we're in the end of the last fulfillment of what Christ is going to do. It's important we tell people, repent. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Acknowledge your sins. Church, don't accept it. I don't care. You know, if all three of my kids leave us because of their immoralities in their lives and say, if they all would just abandon us, say, you know what, Mom, Dad, we love you, but, you know, I got my own life and I'm not going to be preached at, da, 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 da. You don't understand. You know what will happen? They'll just leave. Because God's more important. I cannot compromise the convictions because other people say I'm ignorant. You're so stupid, you don't understand. No, I understand clearly. I understand there's a demonic world with dark demons that are all around us. Just as the angels are here today, church, there are also demons in the spiritual realm as well, all around us. And we are not fighting flesh and blood, but we are fighting principalities. We are fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're fighting. You keep fighting for your family, your kids, and even your own convictions. And don't let nobody sway you away. It's not called narrow-mindedness. It's not called, and I love this, it's not intolerance, church. It's not that you're not tolerant. No, I'm not going to endorse something that goes against my conviction. It's just how it is. Live your life. Do what you want, but don't try to drag me into it. Because I'm not going there. I've done made my stand. I've done crossed the line of the sand. And I said, God, I am yours. I am blood bought and sold out to your kingdom forever and ever. No matter what comes, no matter what they try to say, no matter what law tries to pass, they can come today and say, if you don't stop preaching Jesus or you don't stop preaching against, you know, homosexuality or abortion or any of the social issue that we're bad against, If you don't stop preaching that, we're going to take your tax exempt status. Fine, we'll pay taxes. I do anyway. All the time. I'm not going to be bullied by this generation into changing my convictions. Bunch of bullies blowing a bunch of hot air. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. I know who I am in Christ. I know what His Word says. If I believe this Bible is truth, and here's the thing, the same people that say, you're intolerant, it's my life, let me live it. You're always pointing out the sins. The same people that say that also love John 3:16, don't they? Now, God so loved the world, Pastor. He gave His only begotten Son. That's right. You believe that verse? You believe that's the Word of God? I sure do. But why don't you believe Romans 1? I mean, if we believe part of it, we got to believe all of it. And I believe all of it. I can't pick and choose what is really truth and what's not. If I believe that God loved me so much, yes, I believe in that. I believe in grace. I believe I'm born again forever by faith. I believe all that. But I also believe the part that says, don't let sin ruin your mortal body. Break from that and let God do a work. I want to do something in closing this morning. I want to just open up the altar today. And this is for any of you that just, you're sitting there and you've heard this word and there's things in your lives that you are battling. There's demons that are there. There's chains that are there. Maybe your heart is hardened and you just absolutely, you need it softened. Let God soften that heart. Church, as a pastor standing in front of all of you each week, there are spirits that I feel sometimes coming from the congregation. I can feel when a nerve's been hit. I can feel when someone doesn't like what was said. But just say, you know what, God? Your word is truth, and I know you love me, and I want to please you. As Kevin sung that song earlier, God, I want to be all that you want me to be. That's my desire. Don't be too ashamed to come up here and just say, God, I need some strength. I need some healing. I need some help. I need my thinking changed. I want to turn from my way because my ways aren't working. Church, we find out a lot of times our ways don't work very well. We do it our way all we want, and we're still broken. We're still lost. We're still lonely. We're still miserable. Let God have it. Let God have it. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me, if you would. And I just want you, if the altar is open right now. If you just want to feel like you have a need to pray, and you go sing something, Kevin. Kevin's going to sing a song and just pray. Come up here and pray. Say, God, help me, cleanse me, forgive me. Let's have a real old-fashioned, humbling altar moment this morning. Just an old-fashioned, humbling, repentive altar call today to where we say, the world's got too much of me and I'm tired of that. As Kevin sings, the altar is open. Come up here and just pray for a minute. Talk to him.
Come as you are, and let Jesus give you a new start. Come as you are, lay all your burdens at the foot of cross. Don't let fear keep you away. Come let go by faith. Just come as you are. Just today, come as you are, and let Jesus fill your heart. Before your Father God, lose yourself to see His ways. He will always keep you safe. Just come as you are. Just come as you are today. Come as you are. See you and Jesus will never be apart. Come as you are, receive his gifts that he will impart. You don't have to be afraid. Against you today, just come as you are, just come as you are, just come as you are today.
Pray over this church this morning, this local body that you have raised up. God, this church and this assembly has nothing to do with me whatsoever. You have planted this church here. God, I want to pray that you make this ministry a light to this generation. God, you make it a light and a drawing power, that folks will know that in this place lies your grace, your truth, and your power to transform. Lord, I pray for protection upon this ministry and upon this body. In the days and years to come, Lord, the seasons that will change, that God, we will stand steadfast in your word without compromising, without wavering, but we will stand for truth that you are Lord and there is no other. Let us be a church of humility, that we humble ourselves before you, that we acknowledge when we're wrong, that we can help others. Let us not be judgmental. Let us not point the finger. Let us not wag our tongue with poisonous words. But let this be a place of refuge. And God, you showed me that many years ago, that this would be a place of refuge for people. And when they walk in these doors, they're safe. God, they're safe. They're on the same team. They serve the same God. We're the same family, no matter how we look or where we come from, what color our skin is, or all the bad stuff we've done. We're one family here today. And I pray that this family grows in you. This church grows in you. This place of refuge will call out those in darkness. It'll call out to the dead and say, rise from the dead and come to this place and get resurrected life. That the word that comes from this place will be so powerful that they won't be able to resist your holy hand of calling. That they will know this place is their place of destiny. It's their place of hope. It's their place of healing. It's their place of deliverance, to where the demons have to flee when they walk in the door, for the power of the Holy Spirit is so strong it can't stand in the very presence of where it's at. I pray that over this place and over this church, that it will be that place of refuge for all the lost souls that are roaming down the road right now, passing this place, looking for somewhere of hope for their lives. I declare this place your place forever, God. And your anointing will never leave it. Your anointing will always be on it. Whether I'm here or not, God, your anointing will be on this place for seasons to come, that lives will know you are Lord in this place. We thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you for your word. Let us be humble, God, and repentant. Let us not celebrate our sins. Let us not be bitter and hardened toward our sins. Let us acknowledge, yes, I'm in a bad way, and I know it's not right in your eyes, God, and I ask you, help me with this. Help me with my weaknesses. Help me with my struggles. Help me with my battles. It's not something I'm proud of, God. I need you to help me with it. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, for all of who you are and all that you've done. And we give you thanks in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you very much.